The morning we're going to do a new series for the month of December. Next month starts the new year, and I will have a list next week for you of all the sermons we will do next year. And the reason I'm giving that out to you ahead of time is that you can be coordinating your own home, your own Bible study. If you have studies with your children or family devotionals, you can coordinate those as well. So I will have that list for you next week. So this month we're going to do just a series of sermons for the month of December. And then we are, of course, going to finish up our series of Heroes of Faith in this month as well, on Sunday evenings. We're going to begin a series of lessons on Jesus. And as we think about Jesus, of course, he is the central figure of our faith, right? He's the, focal point, the central figure, not just of our faith, but really of all of history. And as we think about Jesus, who is, of course, the most important human who ever lived, the being we call Jesus is not confined to his humanity. And I think it's easy for us to sort of forget that sometimes, that we center so much on the life, the physical earthly life of Jesus, which is important, don't get me wrong. But Jesus is bigger than that, bigger than the 30 years that he existed on earth. And he, in the Bible, reveals himself to us in many different ways. Now, of course, he's not called Jesus in the Old Testament. He's not called Jesus until the incarnation. But this person, this being, is one who exists and does things all throughout the history of the world. He is not just a human. And it's important for us to understand that. So over the next few weeks, we're going to look at some of the different aspects of this being, this person, Jesus. We will talk about his humanity in one of those sermons, but other aspects of his work and life, and I say life, life is such a weird word for a being who can't die, right? We can think about his human life, but his eternal, perpetual existence. It's easy for us, maybe, I say easy. It's sort of easy for us to think about something existing from now on forever. I think about my own life that I want to be in heaven with God. Why? Well, because it won't ever end, right? I can sort of imagine that I'll be in heaven with God forever, and won't ever end. What I cannot really imagine is the other way. A being that has always existed. A being that did not come into existence. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around eternity the other way. What is that? What does that mean? That he has always existed and has been in existence. We don't even have language to talk about it. I keep wanting to say since before the foundation of the world, which is a phrase that's used, but it's more than that. That he does not have a beginning. It's hard for me to really wrap my mind around that. Before we dig into this, we should briefly touch on the idea of the Trinity, quote-unquote Trinity. Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." That's that eternity towards the future, of course. The word Trinity is not ever used in the Bible. We understand that. I hope you understand that. But it is a concept, even here. The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We could go back all the way to Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." We're going to talk about, in the first sermon next year, we're going to talk about the word God. And I want to briefly touch on it here. The word God here, Elohim, inherently plural. The Hebrew word Elohim is a plural world. The I am at the end is plural. Then God, plural, said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And of course, the question, who is us? Maybe God and angels, some people have suggested. Of course, I think that's ridiculous, right? This idea of God defined in three different, and I don't know what word to use here, aspects, personas, entities, beings, persons. I don't know what word to use. It's a hard thing to wrap our minds around. But it's going to lead us into our first aspect of Jesus, first role of this second entity of the Godhead, Creator. Jesus is the Creator. Now, we read already, it was read for us, John 1, 1 through 5. We'll read it again. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, He was in the beginning with God. Again, He was God and He was with God. That togetherness and separateness, it's hard to really wrap again how that can be. Of course, if you're an eternal, infinite being, maybe you can do some stuff that we can't, obviously, right? If you're infinite and not never ending, all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Of course the darkness hasn't overcome it. He made everything. How is the darkness going to overcome such an entity of incredible power? Genesis 1, 1 and 2, which we briefly read previous verses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. This word create in the original languages, Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek, could refer to creating from nothing or reshaping existing elements. That word is used of somebody perhaps making, well, when we talk about making the Ark of the Covenant, making the temple, right? They're fashioning something out of stuff that already exists. But of course, this word is also used exclusively of God to describe creation from nothing, which is a different sort of creation, right? I could make a piece of art. I could build a thing. My dad built this table. He's going to build a new lectern for the classroom. I'm very excited about. But he's not creating in that sense, right? This wood existed. It was a tree. And before that, it was seed. And it grew from stuff that was in the earth. And, you know, we could go all the way back, levels upon levels upon levels upon levels, where all that stuff came from, what it's made of. Of course, we know when we talk about creation in the sense of Jesus the Creator, we're talking about something better than that. Not shaping things out of stuff that already exists. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus is not just important because of His time as a human. And there's only one point to this sermon. Without Jesus, you and I would not exist. To limit our understanding of Jesus to 30 years as a human is doing a great disservice to Him, because He has created everything. You and I, the earth that we stand on, the space that we're hurtling through. Have you ever thought about that? The earth is going through space very fast. Of course, we don't feel it, of course. Stars, and I think about the sun, and I think about all of the different things that are in the universe that exist because of Jesus and what He has done. The power to create might be considered the defining characteristic of divinity. What makes an entity divine or not? Can you make from nothing? And Jesus can do it. This creative power, of course, did not end in Genesis 3 at the end of creation, right? The end of the creative story in Genesis. Hebrews 1, 1 through 3, long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. Next week, we're going to talk about Jesus the messenger, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. So we could think about the beginning. We exist because of Jesus. Our continued existence depends upon the power of Jesus. He upholds, He keeps it going by the word of His power. Every day, every minute, it is appropriate to thank Jesus for our lives. Every second, you could appropriately, not that you're going to, obviously, you're not going to just go around mumble thank you all the time. But anytime you want to do it, it would be appropriate, because you continue to exist at His pleasure. And this should clarify an incorrect idea held by some, right? That Jesus, and I'm not saying people here believe this, of course, but there are some that believe this and some we might talk to in our communities, some that maybe have this idea that Jesus is just another created being, but without him, nothing was made that was made. Which means, of course, he can't be made. Colossians 1, 15 through 17, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That idea again, the creative power at the beginning, but the continuing creative power of holding things together, right? When it says he is the firstborn, some might take that to mean he is the firstborn of all creation. He's the first thing that was created. Of course, that's not what that's talking about. Right? If all things were created through him, he had to have been there for things to be created through him, right? That cannot be said of a created entity. Otherwise, you understand hopefully what I'm trying to get at there. So what does it mean he's the firstborn? Firstborn as a position, as a station, as a situation of authority. The firstborn who deserves what? Deserves the best blessing. Deserves the inheritance. Deserves to be in charge. That's what this means, this firstborn. This is the point. Jesus is worthy of as much glory, honor, and praise as we can give him. You cannot praise him too much. Hebrews 3, 1 through 4, therefore, holy brothers, you who share in the heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more than the house itself. Moses was created. Jesus, of course, was not. He is the builder. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. And so what? He has been counted worthy of more glory. Glory, more praise, more honor. As we consider some of the other aspects of Jesus over the next few weeks, 3 weeks, this must be firmly in our minds, because it is from this first point, Jesus is the Creator, that all the others have their fullest meaning. Jesus creates and is thus divine. In the truest sense, he is an aspect of deity. Godhead, that Trinity idea that we've talked about. This creative power means that we owe him everything. Not just for our salvation, we do owe him everything for our salvation too, but it's before that even, before our salvation, we owe him everything because we only exist because of him. The power to create is something he continues to use even now. And I want us to understand that as we think about our relationship with God and our struggles on earth. The one who is supporting you, the one who has saved you, the one who has promised to never forsake you, is the one who made you. And so when the question is asked, what can separate us from the love of God? The answer, of course, is nothing. Because nothing is more powerful than God. As we carry on, we're going to talk about Jesus the messenger, revealing the Creator to the created. That's what he does as messenger. In these last days has spoken to us by Jesus, by his son, as he reveals the Creator to us. Jesus the human, we'll talk about what he gave up. Again, ties back to this idea. If he is the Creator, he is divine in the truest sense. He is the firstborn of all creation, deserving of all power and authority and rule. What does that mean then when he becomes human? We'll talk about that. Finally, we will end with Jesus the conqueror. And the power that he still holds over creation. The power that he will exercise time and again. We'll end with 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 6. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God. What ministry? The ministry of reconciliation is what he's talking about here. The ministry of helping people be reconciled to their Creator. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. Why would I lose heart? The Creator of all things is on my side. No matter what I'm going through, no matter what difficulty I'm having, I have the Creator of all existence backing me up. So we do not lose heart. We have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or tamper with God's word because we don't have to. The message is enough. The Creator died for the created. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, even if people don't understand, it's veiled to those who are perishing. In this case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. The good news is inherently tied up in Christ's glory. Because the good news is what? That the Creator died for the created. The glory of that story is that He is the Creator dying for us. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In Him was life, or was light, and the light was the life of men. The light is shone in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What light? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Glory that we understand because of Jesus. Because He, as the Creator, has revealed Himself to us and become like us. We proclaim not just the suffering servant, but the ruler of all that exists. That is the message that we proclaim. Jesus Christ, Lord of all. Amen? He is Lord of all. But He wants to serve us. And so as we offer the invitation, very simple invitation. Jesus is more powerful than your sin. He's more powerful than what you've done. He's more powerful than your doubts and fears. He's more powerful than any problems that you might have. But that power has not made Him arrogant. That power has not made Him conceited. That power is being used by Him now, even now, to uphold our existence, to give us what we need. So let's give Him what He deserves, the glory and honor and praise.